Welcome to the Abundant Life Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker. For more information about Abundant Life Church, please visit www.abundantlifechurch.org.
So we can be used by God. Matthew chapter 19 is a great place to look in the scripture this morning. It's part of a series I call The Perfecting. And the reason that I have a series that I call The Perfecting is because Jack Nicholson was in a movie called The Shining. And so I thought I would overlay Hollywood's depiction of what shines. Man, you guys are rough. Wow. To talk about what really shines. And you know what really shines is a perfect Christian. A perfect Christian. Well, there's a lot of us that say, well, I can't be perfect. Nobody is perfect. That's, you know, I mean, and that's probably a pretty good secular perspective. But if we want to have Christian perspectives, we want the Word of God to direct us, correct? You know, some people walked in here today with shame. Holy Ghost filled, baptized in Jesus' name. And you walked in here with shame because you have allowed religion to tell you that it's all right for you to sin and that you're still going to go to heaven, not recognizing that that's like being a diabetic and eating chocolate cake every morning. That you may get it in your mouth, you may be able to get your body to do it, but you're just going to suffer. And it may not be early because you can take pills for that. You know, sometimes we go and we listen to an internet devotion for it. We try to take a pill so that we can feel bad. But Jesus had something to say about it. He said, my people shall never be ashamed. Now, that doesn't mean that we should just learn to overlook our sin and say, well, nobody's perfect. But what it means is that as we grow in Christ, we obtain a place in God that allows us to have crucified the old man and the lusts. Isn't that good news? We can be done with sin and not have to worry about lusts. It's a very popular message. Because we are to crucify the old man and the lust thereof. And Paul said it this way. See, we overlooked the Romans road. Paul said, how can we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? Did you know that's in the Bible? That we are dead to sin so that we can be alive unto God. Now, I'm talking about a biblical principle, and some people, you know, we like to come to church even though we don't really want the Word of God to speak to us. But it's only profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So if I don't want doctrine, I just want to have the sound of somebody say I'm amazing, then I won't like good preaching, especially from the Word. And how many of you came here to be reproved? Huh? How about correction? We don't like that. On my way here yesterday, trying to find this place in the morning, I was exceeding the limits of the law. I'm sorry to confess it. But I was reminded that I should not do that because I was coming up on a car in front of me. I'm like, why is that loser driving so slow? And it was a state trooper. And I recognized the loser was me. I was driving too fast. But we don't really like the word because we don't want doctrine because that's how we're supposed to live for Christ. We don't like reproof because we are the ones that want to tell God how much we'll give him. Correction, don't try to correct me. And instruction in righteousness. Why would I like a pastor or a preacher to talk to me about righteousness when I'm so happy with wrongfulness? Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to really fully preach it. He said through the Old Testament, Moses, he said, do not commit adultery. In the New Testament, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already. In this new place, that's important. He said, in your heart. That's the Jesus that said that if you tear down the temple, that old temple, I will transition you into a new concept. It will be a temple that is not made with hands. And matter of fact, he said, you won't find me in temples made with hands. And that's true because he told Moses, build this tabernacle and I'll find you there. That Holy of Holies, I will meet with the people there, even though he only met with the high priest. But that was prophetic. As we move forward to now, we have to be in a position where we accept the fact we are a royal, what? Priesthood. So that was prophetic. He's going to meet with that high priest in there, and he's going to just be sure that the blood sacrifice is accurate. And that was very good, and it worked so long until, of course, the politicians built Herod's temple, and now here we have this conundrum. But when we realize he was a bridge, Matthew 19 starts to make some sense. This is a chapter where he deals with who would be called the rich young ruler. Matthew 19, 21 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. There's a lot of people, and for a long time I was in that school of thought that, isn't it terrible that this rich young man didn't make heaven? And one time when I was praying to the Lord about this, he spoke to me. He said, well, you know, the interesting thing about it is I don't know how many people really come to me and say, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Most people just want to know, how do I stay out of hell? And what is the minimum I can do? How close can I live to the world and still claim heaven as my eternal destination? But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we really meet him, what happens is, listen, I'm not spooky, I'm not Mormon, I'm just saying I'm living my eternal life now. It's already started. Because I was born, not of the will of man, but of God. I was born of water and of the Spirit. I repented of my sin and got the old man up on the cross with the lust, destroyed it. And now I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, which makes me the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do you disagree with that doctrine? No. So we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, when they asked him to show them how to pray, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth, what's that next part? As it is in heaven. So when I was born of water and spirit, when I did it Jesus way, I entered into an eternal kingdom. And so now I'm living in a way in which I don't have to let the devil and all the rudiment things of the world affect me. And so we understand, I get it, why we don't like to look at apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers as being anything special. It's no different than the children of Israel looking at Moses as though he was just like them. Anybody can hear from God. It is true. But not everybody hears from God to deliver people. Most of us want to hear from God independently so that we can somehow feel like we've delivered ourselves. But you see, the reason we don't like pastors and teachers, and I'm sorry if you missed Friday night and yesterday morning, but the reason we don't like pastors and teachers is that the good ones are going to push us to perfection. Read it in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. He gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints so that we could do the work of the ministry, so that we are all in this together. And so we have a man stand up on this Pastoral Appreciation Day who stood up with other men who work in the ministry, the pastoral ministry. But listen, we are the ones to do the ministry of the work of God. We are to come and hear the word as preached. Listen to the word as preached. Receive the word as preached. Adjust ourselves to the word that is preached, even if it comes through a guy who breathes the same air that we do. Even if it, where would the wonder be if God manifests an angel up here? I mean, if we all showed up and it's sort of like beam me down, Jesus, and the angel comes down and he stands here. Thus saith the Lord. There's no miracle in that. There's no submission in that. There's not any kind of human authority. Remember, the word became flesh. The human authority of God moving through his brand new temple. You see, if it were an angel of God or if Jesus himself came down. You know, we have a recorded place in history where an angel apparently talked to a man. The angel's name was Moroni. And the guy was Joseph Smith. And that angel, Moroni, he ended up giving some golden tablets to this guy, who's the only one ever to read them, and then they just disappeared. So you follow an angel, kind of makes you a spiritual Moroni. See, there wouldn't be anything really supernatural if everything was supernatural. And what Jesus said is, if you want to do something supernatural, why don't you make the natural super? A new commandment I give you. And what is that? That you have love one toward another. And you know that method of church growth is so powerful because if you and I have love one toward another, the Bible says that every man will see we're his disciple. It's impossible to love an angel, but it is possible for God to take a human being, wrap them in his word, and have them minister angelically. And then we demonstrate our love toward how God works. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of cult where whatever the guy says, we just do. That never ends well. But I'm talking about a guy who has allowed himself to end so that he can stand up in front of us and teach us out of a book where everything ends well. Everything in that book, if we can begin to discern it and add it to our lives and come in a humility. There's no humility to saying, well, you know what the angel said today? We got to do it now because that was a supernatural angel. Right? There's nothing there. There's just no relationship with all of that kind of stuff. You know, the guy that was at the Pool of Bethesda? Like so many in the culture, and I'm going to minister in just a minute a little further about the culture, but like so many in the culture, he's lame and he's laying, but they know they have this tradition. They don't really see the angel come down, but the angel would come down and trouble the water. And then what happened? The first guy in got healed. So the Pool of Bethesda was designed so that individuals would go in who were lame, who were broken, who were wounded, who could not fend for themselves or take care of themselves or develop any kind of economic strength. If they could somehow get into the water, they would be healed. And the Lord comes by this guy and he's like, man, why are you laying here? He said, well, the angel comes down, Lord, and he troubles the water. And the first one in, I have no man to help me. And Jesus said, watch this. Be healed. He didn't need the pool because he got a little living water. And he didn't need an angel because he had the word wrapped up in flesh. So when I, Brother Kylie, I come by people who are wounded and hurting, I don't have to roll them into some kind of river. All I have to do is say, hey, you want some living water? Jesus will heal you. But you see, that's the transition from Herod's temple, that was controlled by politics, that was controlled by people trying to control the people, and a temple that now moves freely outside of any house. And I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. I can give it to anybody I want. But in order for me to do that, I got to put lust on the cross, works of the flesh. adultery, fornication, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, all of those things listed in the book of Galatians. All of those become lust. Your flesh will manifest those things to the point where they control you. But the scripture tells us here that this young man starts out in verse 16. After Jesus dealt with divorce, and this is the same chapter that Jesus said, suffer the little children. You know, we like to say that he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, right? Except for there's a comma when you read it. He said, suffer the little children, comma. It's an entirely unique phrase. Because even in the days of Christ, he recognized that children suffer at the hands of lustful human beings. And he said, suffer the little children, and then to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And so by the time we get down to 16, there is a man who comes who's a rich young man. He's called a ruler because he had some wealth. And he comes to Jesus and he says, I'm talking about the perfecting. I hope that that's okay. You see, he comes to Jesus, and the rich young ruler wasn't like the religious elitist who was Nicodemus, who came to him by night. The rich young ruler came to him by day. And what is the difference is Nicodemus trusted in religion. But the rich young ruler had already developed a relationship with Jehovah God. Because he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, of course, asked him about his revelation of the idea that he was a good master. He said, why did you call me good? Have you noticed that whenever we get a revelation of who Jesus is, he gives us the truth about who we are? That's why when Peter preached about Jesus on the day of Pentecost, they were all pricked in their heart. And then they asked the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Isn't it funny? You preach Jesus and people get moved in the heart, and then all of a sudden it's men and brethren instead of that pastor. The question was not, were they apostles? The question was, did the people have a revelation of Jesus? Because once you got that, he shows you right where you are. And when you will admit where you are, you want to get to where he is, but how do you do it? Through the apostles. When they heard they had crucified the very Lord of glory, they wanted to get to Jesus. But they didn't look for some kind of manifestation of an angel. And notice, they didn't run to Herod's temple any longer. A transition was taking place. He had been murdered on the cross. He had been taken down and buried, and he had resurrected. And now that we are beyond that Old Testament temple idea, they are recognizing there is now a new sheriff in town. And his name is Jesus Christ, which means now Jehovah God, Yeshua, has become my salvation. And when they learned about who he was, their heart opened and they were willing to say, men and brethren, what do we have to do? It's easy. Repent. Quiet. That's good news. I have access to God. I don't have to worry about how to get to him. The answer is really quite simple. Repent. Not believe. They didn't say believe. They said repent. They didn't say shake our hand. They said repent. They didn't say you have to do all kinds of things, crawl on glass or whatever. They just said repent. And be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. Listen, we don't believe unto remission of sin. We repent and are baptized for the remission of sin. That's not our doctrine. That's his. And when we really want to meet him, when we really realize that we're imperfect, we are prone to pursue perfection. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Paraphrasing that, all of you will become temples. All of you will be infected with the J virus. Just don't let Satan muzzle the mouth. You're masking for trouble. I'm sorry. It's going to get worse. So you understand that, you know, all of those people on the day of Pentecost, they ask this question, well, we're not quite at Pentecost, so this guy who loves Jehovah God already, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? And he said, well, whatever. And then Jesus said, if you would be perfect, it's in there. If you would be perfect. You see, what we fail to recognize is if I rebel against the preached word, I'm deciding to stay imperfect. And you know what the difference between Christ's perfection and imperfect? We remove the apostrophe, we put a space between I am and perfect, and we're telling God, I'm perfect. Instead of just saying, imperfect. We really become sort of spiritually narcissistic because I've done enough. After all, listen, there was a guy at a food store in Stevens Point, and we've been ministering to him. Just a great guy. His name is Isaiah, believe it or not. I saw him from across the parking lot. Isaiah, how are you? Well, at least I'm not doing heroin. So, like all Christians, I pursued wholeheartedly, wait a minute, let me talk to you. I said, what I really asked you was, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm in college now. I live in the dorms. I got to go. I don't know what he was up to. I just know that he had set some sort of a standard of holiness. And he was saying to me, I'm perfect. Don't worry about me. At least I'm not doing heroin. That can be a strong holiness standard for people that are bound by heroin. So when we recognize it, what he was saying is, I'm perfect. I don't need to hear you try to tell me I'm imperfect. What I need is for you to tell me, Pastor, that I'm okay right here in my sin, because I am less willing to give up my sin than I am willing to embrace the perfection Christ called me to. Oh, see. If you would be perfect, take all that you have, sell it, give the money to the poor, and then come follow me. But before he gave him the prescription for self-denial, which none of us really want to hear about, he said, well, it's easy, keep the commandments. Well, which ones? And there are six that Jesus lists. You will find them if we move there. Six of those in Matthew chapter 19 that we would find, which are all of those that deal with how we interact with human beings. Did you know that six of the Ten Commandments are about people-to-people relationships? Four of them are about people to God. And so Jesus lays out all of the people-to-people commandments, and the rich young ruler says, all of those I have kept from the time I was just a little boy. Interesting, in a chapter where he deals with the concept of suffer the little children, he finds the guy that had a perfect childhood. And the perfection of his childhood allowed him to have a love relationship with God already. I've already kept all those commandments. I'm good. You see the difference? Nicodemus was bound by religion. This kid was listening to the concepts of the commandments. This kid came while it was day. Nicodemus, that religious guy, he had to meet with him at night. So, I've kept him from my youth up. Jesus says, well, that's good. So then if you really are going to be perfect, if you're really going to finish this whole thing, then he brings it down to this idea of the estate. The idea of great possession is the estate. This is what it literally means in the original. The estate came into the possession of the inheritor from his family. Ownership, proprietorship, control, hands, keeping, care, custody, charge, hold title, guardianship. It means that it is the possessions, the belongings, the worldly goods, the personal effects, the effects, the stuff, assets, the paraphernalia, the impedimenta, the bits and pieces, luggage, baggage, bags, baggage, chattels. In other words, this is Aunt Edna's great clock that she had since she was a baby. And it is that old trumpet that my dad used to try to play in the basement kind of stuff, in addition to all of their lands and their inheritances. So he was wealthy because people passed things down to him. And so the scripture says, Jesus says, take all of that, sell it, and give the money to the poor. Then you'll be perfect. And so the kid said, well, I'm not sure. And it says he went away sorrowful. But remember, you know, that's right where most of us judges. We say, well, obviously he didn't make it to heaven. We don't go far enough to study that word sorrowful is the same sorrowful that's used about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, my soul is sorrowful unto death. And it's talking about an isolated, insulated sorrow where you're locked into a room with just you and you're facing terrible, terrible choices about other people's destiny. Now, I'm so glad. I mean, if we're going to say the rich young ruler didn't go home and do it, that's like saying Jesus didn't go to the cross. So the rich young ruler, he had to go home. And it's not like Jesus said, just turn it over to Goodwill. Have them come and pick it up. Jesus said, put a price tag on everything. Value it from your perspective and sell it. In other words, he was commanding him to have a huge yard sale. And then the more difficult part is to take the value of that now has been monetized and find a poor person. Give some of it to them. Find another poor person. Give some of it to them. Find another poor. And then once you have distributed all of those things, handed down to the poor, then you're going to be in a good spot because you will have eternal life. That sounds easy. How many would rather just take the repentance deal? I like the repentance deal, even though I got a 5-string guitar from my dad for an inheritance. Literally 5-string. Must be very unique. No, it just had a string broke. That's my inheritance. And I tell my wife all the time when she's moving it, don't mess with my inheritance. I left 5 strings on it. Just remember my dad. So the reality becomes this. You know, he's dealing with children. He says, suffer little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And then he deals with the guy who had the perfect childhood and said, take all of your perfect memories and sell them and give them to the poor if you want to be perfect. And the guy goes away sorrowful just like we would, because it's a lot of work to determine what is in our lives. But you see, we have to know this is God who works from the end to the beginning. So when he's dealing with the rich young man having to distribute everything, he's also prophetically going back to the beginning of the chapter where he says, except you become like a little child, you can't enter into the kingdom. And see, our problem is we don't want to hit reverse when it's dealing with the curse. We don't want to go into early childhood and the bullies and the predators and the abusers and the neglectors and the left behinders and the ones that shook their head and those that said all manner of evil or hurt me physically or wounded me down inside of me. We don't want to go back there and let all of that go, because then what would we have to control our daily memories with? Remember the guy laying there? It says lame from his mother's womb. There's people in here that are still lame from their mother's womb. We are still controlled by historical problematic moments that we cannot as a human being process, because they should have loved me. They should have protected me. They should have taken care of me. And what we do with those things, Brother Coral, is we pack them all into this big wagon behind us and we start dragging them through our lives. And you know what they develop into? They develop into neuroses. They develop into depression. They manifest as a poor self-image. They begin to cause us to be underachievers. They begin to cause us to be unbelievers in ourselves. Hey, listen, Jesus said all of the law and all of the prophets hang on this concept, that you would love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor like you love you. One of the reasons I don't like the pastor is because I don't like me. I didn't mean literally you. Maybe Brother Kylie, but not you. Foot wedge. I use it all the time now in golf. It's the best club I have. Just the other day, Foxfire was behind all the trees. Went out. I said, hey, don't worry about it, Tucker. I got a foot wedge. Before he could say, don't do it, I said, bing! The foot was rolling the balls out. Hey, look, it's right on the fairway now. I'm like Chester Markle. I can kick those things 60 yards. Inside joke. Not funny, of course. But you see, the reality of Christianity is this. He wants you to be perfect. If you would be perfect, take everything from your childhood. Calculate what it is. Make an inventory list. Be very, very honest about it. We have to confess our faults. We have to be able to bring forth a confession. Many of the things that happened in childhood that we couldn't control are the greatest places of shame. Suffer, little children. Bring them to me. What he was saying in the power of the Holy Ghost is you suffered as a child. Bring your pain. Bring your suffering. Bring your scars. Bring your torments and bring them unto me. For of such is the kingdom of God. No wonder he told Nicodemus, we've got to be born again. Because the world's a mess. And it hurts babies. Innocence. It's after the children, these that are on the pew, these that are sitting here listening to some guy they can't possibly ever get to know, yelling and screaming. But you adults, you hear the voice of the Lord as he's speaking this morning. He's isolated your problems. He's seen them. That's why he said, come unto me, all you that labor. What's the labor? I'm pulling along. All this stuff, man. It's just like, this is so heavy. Come unto me, all you that labor. We like to say, well, that's for the pastors that are out laboring in the field. Listen, I haven't ever had so much fun as to pastor. I'm a competitive guy. I love crushing the enemy. I get up on Sunday, I mean, let's kick some devil butt here this morning. He's not that tough. At the end of the day, when we're all sitting in heaven, we're going to say, this is the guy. He's the one that troubled kingdoms. Anybody ever see Mr. Bill? Oh, no. Just put a little tail on him, a couple of horns. Ever see the animation about Mr. Big? Oh, no, Mr. Big's coming. All those big bears walk in the room. Any of you kids ever see that one? What is that called? I'll see you pass the test. That's my test to see who watches animation. The scenario is all these big animals are walking in. They're waiting for Mr. Big. Is that Mr. Big? No. Bigger one comes in. Is that Mr. Big? No. Next one. Surely that's Mr. Big. No, it's not. Mr. Big is scary. And they turn this thing around and there's like this little hamster sitting there and he's got this big voice. Hey, I'm Mr. Big. And all he says a famous line, ice him. They're going to kill him. I think that's in Flushed Away. I'm not sure if I ever watched that stuff. I mean, I never... It's really scary. Mr. Satan, listen, I'm not making anything small out of him, because as the dragon, he can withstand Gabriel. That's not an easy thing to do. But what I'm saying is, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't need the angel Gabriel. I mean, I want his help because he brings the answer to prayer. I mean, he comes and he unlocks things and opens things. But listen, listen, greater is he. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He can take your childhood scars. He can take your childhood pain. He can take all of those memories that torment us and cause us. You know what's really troubling is how many times in the scripture it says, be anxious for nothing. I'm like, wait a minute. In some churches, anxiety is a spiritual gift. What would we have to pray about if I didn't have anxiety? And the enemy keeps saying, boo. We're like, adrenaline release. And then we come into the church and all of a sudden, do you have any prayer requests? Yes, I'm struggling with. And the entire time, if we could just let Jesus take those childhood things, I might be able to go home loving me and stop by my neighbor's house, bro. Hey, how you doing over there, Mike? My neighbor is Mike Nicholson. The first time I stopped over and said hello to him, he knew I was a pastor. He looked at me and said, hey, Ron, I already have a church. He totally missed the boat. We had a tin of Christmas cookies we were giving away. Wait a minute, we're apostolic. Can we give away Christmas cookies? Isn't that very, yeah, they were really good too, and he enjoyed them. Next year I came by and I had another tin of cookies. I knocked on the door and he said, hi, Ron, still go to church. Come on in, we've got something for you too. But they weren't going to bring it over. But they were only going to give it if we knocked on the door. You see, as I close this morning, now just so you're warned, usually it's about a 30-minute, you know how they say that we're beginning our point of reentry when they're coming back to the airport? Don't get too excited. It's usually 30 minutes, right? I don't wear a watch deliberately, but I do have a cell phone. So then it gets us to this idea that he was sad, sorrowful, because it is a lot of work, saint of God, to unwrap our childhood. It's a lengthy process. A lot of people ask me to do counseling. I'm like, you don't want me to counsel you. They're like, why? Well, first of all, I'm not a therapist. If you want a therapist, you should go to a therapist. And if they have you on a discipline of medication for things that hurt you, you should stay on those. However, you should maybe try repentance. Well, I did that. I repented and was baptized. Yeah, but, you know, did you repent for conversion? Did you just repent the Acts 2 repentance where it's just for the remission of sins? So sometimes people repent so they can be baptized because they want to fit into a social group. We need to teach them to repent for the remission of sin, then baptize them, and then pastor, teach them then to continue to repent until they're converted. And what converts us is the law of the Lord. I know I talked about it on Friday night. I won't spend any time there. Meditate on the law of God and it will perfect your soul, because David said the law is perfect, converting the soul. You want to be converted, you got to deal with the law. That's why the rich young ruler was happy to talk to Jesus during the day, because he had already had a conversion. But Jesus is like, in your conversion, you still have childhood things you're carrying. And except you become like a little child. You know what little children do? They bow 3 times in front of a church for something that was very simple and easy for most of us to do. You see the little guy up here? And then he went. And he went, that's what little kids do. He's sitting right back there. He bowed 3 times. You know why? He's a little kid. Kids get away with that. We're not going to think he's a narcissist. Oh, that guy, he's all about himself. Can you believe that? If he didn't have the perfect life, he wouldn't be. No, he's just like, this is awesome. Everybody, I was kind of hoping he was going to break out in some kind of a little dance thing there, you know. Why? Because I like smiling at children because the little ones are so free. When's the last time you were like that? Children dance easy. And when you're free of your childhood, when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. You see, we're so encumbered. We've got our challenges from childhood, and I'm not minimizing. I won't tell you what I faced and happened to me because you would be embarrassed and ashamed for my life. Feel that change in atmosphere right there? That's a father. He's a father. And if I were left fatherless and I saw my child from heaven wounded on earth, I would want to come and be a father and teach him that you're going to have to do a couple of things. Forgive. Remember the Our Father prayer. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And Jesus also said that if you'll forgive, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. I teach people to repent about the things that have happened to them. And sometimes they ask me, Pastor, why do I have to repent of the things that happened to me? Well, because you're scarred by it. You're hurt by it. You're wounded by it. You don't trust people because you're wounded by it. You are trying to go through, and we're trying to be brave soldiers when we're really called to be perfect temples that light up the world. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. He transitioned it. Matthew chapter 5. You're the light of the world. Nobody lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, but they light it and put it on a candlestick so it can light everybody that's in the house. Not everybody in the world. Only those that come to him that want to be perfect, that want to know, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? He's going to speak to the imperfect and the perfect. Take everything that you have from childhood and sell it. There's only one thing we're not supposed to sell. That's the truth. I'm thankful for pastors, musicians, you can come. He gave us apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. I have a couple of schematics I left. One of those is how many instances perfect is used in 33 different books. The idea of we are to be perfect. See, religion, oh, you're okay. Because we are unwise. We compare each other to each other. At least I'm not doing heroin. I mean, that's good, Isaiah. It's very good. But are you free of your childhood issues? When I met my wife, we talked. Nobody had ever talked to me about things. I suffer from a syndrome called Tourette's. Anybody know what that is? It's pretty visible when it's in somebody else's life. And typically we don't look at them. And maybe some people come up and say, what's wrong with you? I'm like, it's Tourette's. You know, it's involuntary muscle movement, spasms, really. And it was very bad for me as a child. Because what they haven't discovered as psychologists is that a lot of that is emotionally based. You just, pressure comes, and kids that have Tourette's syndrome have a tendency to manifest in tics. And so I was just being compressed. We had started a church, and then I went through a divorce. And of course, everybody just really wants to support a pastor. So I got all kinds of just hate mail. And then you couple that with demoniacs circling my house at night, trying to get in the door. That was very interesting. I would sit in my living room and, that's a new guy. I hadn't seen him. before. You watch some of those zombie movies. Part of that was when I lived. You know, when you read about Sodom and Gomorrah, they beat on the door. I mean, it was just really crazy. See, you're unbelieving me, but that's okay. I believe it. But Suzanne and I met, and we started to talk. And one night, I'm sitting out on this covered porch that I have, and you can start playing something very emotional so I could really draw it out of the people. I mean, we're going to cry a good one today. Kleenex boxes, we got them right here. I'm not crying about my childhood anymore, so you don't really have to. It's not going to be one of those sad stories. I was out on my porch, and she started asking me questions about childhood. And in one moment, she said, well, that must have been really hard. And you know what, Kyle? I thought to myself, it was. And the tears. I mean, I cried for a long time. And she listened. Never happened to me before, ever. And after I got off that porch, the next day one of my kids said, Dad, what happened to you? I said, what do you mean? You don't have your Tourette's. It's gone. Love. Love. If I were God, and I saw what's happening in this culture, I would create a church. And I would allow people to come and hear from others who have walked a road and found the power of being a temple. And I would let all of the world see them and them and them. And then I would tell them this. Remember, he came out of the tomb. When he was resurrected, he met him. All power in heaven and earth has now been given to me. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Some of you need and have daddy issues. Because you haven't gotten over your inheritance. There's a Father in heaven wanting to change the DNA. He's wanting to come along. He's signing up. He wants to love you and succor you and care for you. And you can talk to him and he will love listen. And you will be converted. For me, it was from the son of Russell, and my dad was a good man, don't get me wrong. But now, I'm a son of God. And John chapter 1 says, as many as would receive this kind of idea, to them he'll give power. We get the Holy Ghost so that we could be sons of a perfect Father who's going to try to minister to us. So that we can have a perfect life while we're here. Don't you want to start your eternal life right now? Are we ready? Would you stand with me this morning? Some of you can release this today. Some of you can release it today. Oh, you don't understand, Brother Walters, how tough it was. I'm not going to get into our stories. But let me just put it, any predator you could face, I had him stop by my house. Any of it. And I'm free today. Because like you, I've got a Father in heaven. Hear me. Hear me, you little child, you. Abused and broken. Come unto me, all you that are pulling it along. Aren't you ready to unpack it? Aren't you ready to unpack those bags and leave them? You can come anytime, please. It's not an admission that you've had a tough life, but maybe you just want a refreshing in the Holy Ghost today. Please come. Let's pray. The man that God has given to perfect us. I want to let the Lord touch my heart today. Can you release it? And if you had that perfect childhood, Release it to God today. Give it to Him. And you know who needs it? Man, you look at the young people of this culture. They need to know you found their daddy. Some of the most powerful testimonies in our church are guys that came in fatherless. And He's building them up. They're some of the greatest preachers that I've ever heard. Because they didn't have one, and now we're adopted in, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I've got a dad who loves me. I've got a dad who wants to protect me. And aren't you willing to sell it all today? Could you repent of all of the things that are in your life today? Could you lay Him at the cross? Oh, how He wants to use you in the power of the Holy Ghost. He's moving us beyond it today. He wants to move us beyond it today. Oh, come on, you perfect temple. Come on, you can do it. You can rise and walk in newness of life. You can kill sin in your life today. Come on, Christian. This is the only church, the Apostolic Church is the only one that will tell you this. Save yourself from this untoward generation. That's what the apostle said after he released the idea of repentance and baptism. Everybody else says you can't do anything to affect your salvation. But Peter said, come on, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Find your new daddy in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Abundant Life Church podcast. We pray it has strengthened your relationship with God and will continue to be a light unto your pathway to heaven. If you have any questions or comments regarding this podcast, please telephone our ministerial team at 262-965-5177 or email us at info@abundantlifechurch.org.